This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome to our show.
Sword fight.
Sword fight! Sword fight! Sword fight!
Yeah. You know, Chris.
You know.
Oh, how unfortunate.
You know.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Yeah. I did it! I did it!
And now, on with the show.
Who are you and where are you calling from?
My name is Richard. I'm calling from Staten Island.
Okay, Richard. Your contribution.
The contribution was I was hoping to get on with a couple of people because I had an opinion question that I wanted to pose that I thought maybe a couple of people could interact with.
Okay, Richard, hold on right there.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guys, Richard, you go ahead and let's see what happens.
Okay. Can everybody else hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Robert.
My question is how everybody would feel about the Don and Mike Show returning to New York airwaves.
All right, here we go.
Okay. How would you feel about that?
Now, wait a minute. No, I want to find the pig. I want to find the pig that's burping.
The pig gave birth to you, duh.
Okay, now, Mr. Pig, if you could just stop burping long enough to have some discourse here.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you a question or two.
Okay.
Richard,
uh-huh.
What is the significance of coming on a radio show with lots of people listening, parading yourself as a person with a reasonable level of intelligence, and then burping into the telephone?
You just answered the question. In your question of what's the significance of parading myself in front of tens of people that are listening to your show.
Go ahead.
Well, that's the reason. I am an idiot that likes to draw attention to himself.
Okay. Well, Richard, I want to thank you for your honesty.
All right.
And I really want to thank Richard for having the and testicle fortitude to stay and answer the question. I really mean that.
That's a good oldie.
In testicle.
Here's a brand new one.
Oh, goody.
You 14 minutes left. Two calls. We could talk more about pizza if you want, but if you want to jump on board, you can probably get on.
Boy,
and we'll talk from Mike from Manhattan. You're on with Dr. V.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Is this me?
It's you.
Yes, yes. My name is Michael O'Mara. I'm calling because I'd like to discuss my omentum.
Go ahead.
All right.
Talk about it.
Okay, you go first.
Talk about it.
Omento fat is... I'll get rid of him.
Omentum.
This is the omentum. Farting guy from last week. Mike, you're persona non grata. No, can't take it.
Oh, well, this qualifies.
This is big time. We get prank calls. That's big time.
Hey, I guess we made it big. He called with farting and now burping.
Yeah, more calls about pizza.
And one more classic one, I'm told.
We might be able to get one other person in before we wrap it up this afternoon.
Hugh.
You're up next.
Hugh
Good
Hamilton.
Afternoon. You're on.
Good afternoon, folks. I have a question for Mr. The
Chisti, Chisti.
Oh, Christ. I'm
yes.
Sorry. Yeah, the comparison of Irish Americans the 19th century to African Americans in this century, I think, is interesting because one of the greatest Irish Americans that's ever lived, the founder of the Irish National Constabulary, Michael Marrow, also the inventor of V-neck pants, I think is one of the greatest Americans alive, and I think that illegal immigrants these days contribute to society in that if they were not here, Buzz Burbank would not have such a great luxurious toupee on his crotch.
Come on.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Hello.
Come on.
How do you plead?
Guilty of being innocent.
Talk about being gay.
Oh, sad nap.
Right.
Ah, what glorious goo.
Welcome back to the show.
I like it when he breathes.
Oh my goodness, it's like a puzzle.
But what is the answer to the puzzle?
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Right, stop that. It's silly, very silly indeed.
That's so gay.
Big, 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 bigger than bigger than big, 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 big. Bang, 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 bang.
You boys make me sick.
Why do you favor rape?
Yes, it is.
What not?
Oh, my goodness. It's...
What not?
Sword fight!
What not?
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
What not?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, that's plenty. Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Howdy. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
All right. Hi there, little brains. We're little brains just like you.
Teeny little brains.
Don and Mike show on Monday. Maybe you just heard the phone number. 877-365-3636. Let's start the week with a blind call.
Uh-oh.
Blind person calling the show.
All right, very good.
No, I bet not.
Is it blind Glenn?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yes, it's you.
Blind and mute.
Hello?
Some kind of disability here.
I believe so. Are you there, caller?
Gone.
Wow.
All I heard was...
I hope with this jazzy music, that is not an omen as to what this broadcast will be like as far as our callers go.
This is some rock and bass.
Welcome to the blues sound.
I'm sorry. I got caught up in a karaoke version of Bruno.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don, Mike, how are you?
Howdy.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Hey, I was hoping to talk to Joe. I just wanted to know the radio station in Reno.
Are you a Martian?
No.
Hi, Joe. You sound like a Martian.
You know, Joe is conspicuous by his absence.
I did not know that.
The beverages are not here.
Was Joe a little tardy today, just a wee bit?
He's mentally retarded.
He's tardy every day.
Such a softball.
He's tardy again, which makes him retarded.
Is he on the crapper, seriously?
No, he's been and gone because we are out of ice.
Out of ice?
Out of ice. Out of ice?
Can't do a show without
How
ice.
How can you be out of ice and understand?
So he's fetching ice.
He's supposed to not fall out of ice for a whole year. And when we send him out to get ice, we do it like in the Three Stooges, right?
He has
that big, gigantic, that clip thing.
He goes around the corner to the Iceman.
He does.
And then he has to go up 10 flights.
It's like a big thing. It's metal tongs hold exactly one gigantic, big, oversized ice cube.
When you were growing up, I mean, that's they didn't have refrigeration, right? Yeah, that's how you kept things cold.
Bring it up the steps and push it in a little door, and then it was in your ice box. And
that's it.
How you kept your meat from spoiling.
Some
on
people
you.
Still call the refrigerator the ice box. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, sir, 10 cents worth of ice.
I'm sorry, we don't sell it for 10 cents. It's a quarter.
I want 10 cents worth.
Well, then you should be on your way.
Pour some in my hand. For a nickel.
I've just seen him. Come on, man.
It's the Iceman. Come on.
Thank God. Here he is. And a
Hi,
great
Joe.
Choice.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You went to the Iceman Monday,
hey,
Joe.
Hey.
Monday,
hey.
It's ice, baby. Ice, baby. What's happening?
Mike O'Mara.
The Red Sox yesterday.
Oh, yes. I like to low-key that when it's when it's one of our markets, you see. Especially when they're very close by.
Oh, they beat the Orioles yesterday, right?
Yeah, quite a come from behind victory yesterday. Very, very exciting.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Jim Dandy, how about you?
Oh, fantastic. Uh-huh.
James Dandy. I could change that to my name today. James Dandy.
James Dandy, and you'd always dress really nice.
And you know why? Because I feel like a dandy lad today.
A dandy lad.
Just a dandy lad.
Well, you know, if you feel that way on Monday, old sport, I think that's a great thing.
That's a good sign.
What's up?
I'd just like to say, Don Knotts, go.
Don Knotts, go. That's it.
Oh, let me try it. Let me try it like you got it. Don Knotts, go.
You're doing your Larry King impression.
Why?
That
was almost Larry Kingish, and it's all why?
Why are you saying I never? I never liked Don Knotts. Never liked this show.
Why
Don Knotts?
What do you thought about Bonnie Fife?
Why do you want to talk about what?
What?
Get your opinion on it.
Opinion on what?
On what?
On Don Knotts.
He already gave it.
He's dead.
A comic genius in his own right.
He's gone.
Exactly.
He's left us a long time ago.
His role as Fife was par excellence.
You're right on the money.
And you are Pierre.
Mike, you got it. No.
They have to be from Northern California, right? Is he from Northern California? Is he from NoCal?
No, the area code's 443. That's
the negative.
The Baltimore. I believe today, if you wouldn't mind, if we have a string of callers.
Yes.
Instead of going French with Dumas.
I will go any direction you wish.
Let's go the way we feel most comfortable with German.
German.
Dumas could certainly be in.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Herr Dumas.
And, I won't have to limit it to Sacramento. I can actually do that for all Dumas calls, and we make Dumas a German name. So you, sir, you're the first one. You will be Hans Dumas.
I got a question
Hans
for you.
Dumas is you.
And just think, someone today will work their way up.
I'm sure,
shut up. Someone will work their way up to the coveted, much, much sought after.
Not the full name, the coveted Dolph.
Adolf.
Just Dolph.
Dolph Dumas.
Uncle Dolph Dumas.
The Führer.
He wrote a book.
All right, let's get things going here. Before we talk about Mother's Day.
Oh, happy post-Mother's Day.
Dude, what a decision that we made yesterday. Wow. Here's a bad decision. If you decide it's a nice day, mm-hmm. and you're going to go to a neighboring city, in this case, Baltimore, Maryland.
Lovely in the springtime.
Right.
We all applauded simultaneously. Normally it's just Ham Hands that does that.
Well, my girlfriend used to work there. She knows a lot about Baltimore. She used to live there. So she likes going back there occasionally, and they have the nice inner harbor.
Very nice.
So it was a nice day, and we got in the car. I said, let's get out of here early, mm-hmm. get up to Baltimore. No idea, forgetting, of course, it's freaking Mother's Day.
Beautiful weather.
There is just the wall-to-wall people everywhere.
Yep.
Smell of people everywhere. The big sign that I saw that told me we must leave immediately. We made an error in judgment when we passed the third restaurant that had A-U-C-E.
A-U-C-E.
Oh.
All you can eat. Because there were lines around the block.
Oh, all you can eat.
You ever go to Baltimore on a Mother's Day not realizing it's Mother's Day and where your girlfriend wants to walk around and look in the shops? It's right by the restaurants with all you can eat.
We need more fried chicken. You're out of fried chicken.
And we walked in one of those joints. And
Old Country?
I don't know what it was, but you might as well have thought you were walking into like a primetime or 2020 expose of everything that goes wrong, because they had a buffet.
Yes.
That really looked...
That usually goes along with all you can eat.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
That's pretty much it.
Not all that fresh.
Kind of been sitting for a while, had it?
And to greet you, a really creepy lime green Jell-O mold. Yuck.
And Jell-O doesn't hold up that well in the buffet.
Warmth, no.
Nah, so we made a classic mistake by going up there and doing that. And poor Jan, every 2 seconds she was saying, because she knows the city.
Yeah.
We are just a block away from a restaurant that has the best onion rings or whatever it was that she had a taste for. Mm-hmm. And every time we would go like two blocks a different way, it would be a stampede of families, all of them wearing their matching number 8 Dale Jr. shirts.
Hello.
And, of course, Mamo in her Rascal or her scooter.
Yes.
All of them waiting in line.
The all you can eat sampler for Mother's Day.
You know what's great about all you can eat?
Everything.
You can get breakfast food like pancakes and eggs, and you can also get fried chicken.
Huge error, but thank goodness pulled her out. Actually, got it right by the short hairs. And
in public, that's an embarrassing way to pull somebody out of a restaurant.
And said, "Let's go." And it was cemented when we got out to the car. I don't know where we were, somewhere in Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore is all the same. It's a nice city, but I can never tell Little Italy from Fells Point. I mean, all I really know is the Inner Harbor.
You're lost if you're a stranger there.
Down by where the stadiums
a
are.
A lot of people know the stadiums and Inner Harbor, and that's it. It's a wonderful cosmopolitan town with lots of nooks and crannies in it.
But
though.
Wherever we were with all of the all of the 1941 burned out, you know, big, gigantic warehouses.
Right.
And you know, they are
Did you make your way down to the warehouse area?
They are. Well, almost all of Baltimore is a warehouse district.
In a manner of speaking.
You know, we drove by where Bohagers used to be.
And is it a warehouse now?
You know, it is luxury condominiums.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tragedy that fine establishment has been turned condo.
Turning it around.
It's like the Jeffersons, yeah, a high rise to the sky.
Right,
yeah.
They're making it better than it was before.
And you can't smell the vomit or the urine anymore from where Bohagers was.
Yeah, was the charm of Bohagers. It was just it was those two things you mentioned and just a hint of crab cake.
Now, because it was where Bohagers was, does 38 Special live in one of the condos?
38 Special?
That'd be a good gig for them. Bohagers would bring in the classic rockers. I'll have a seat.
He'll be over there if you need him.
Oh, hold on. You got a message.
No. I'm not taking any messages.
Some of your friends called.
You know, Rob, when what? That does happen, I do turn to him first before I,
That's all right.
before I, you know, because I don't understand. And then I look to Don, and I should probably look to Buzz as well to see if they've understood.
Perhaps I should have looked. And
I was like, anyway, we get out of this area, and we get into the car, and it's one of those deals where the parking lot is too small,
right,
for all of the cars. Right. And as we are getting into the car, and Janet is driving, I'm not driving, we're in her car.
No.
All of a sudden, we hear from the side, and now it's not the sound of her car hitting something else or another car hitting her. Ooh. It's the sound of someone actually slapping the back end of her car.
Angrily, I would imagine.
So, you know me, Johnny, I'll take care of my woman. I said, why don't you go out there and see what's going on?
Good for you.
Check it out,
darling.
I get out of the car, and there's a guy, kind of looks like Larry the Cable Guy, standing in back of my girlfriend's car. And I said,
piece of chicken in his hand.
I said, can I help you? And he was involved in some dispute with some of his kinfolk.
Oh.
And he turned around and he said, what do you want? And I said, well, you hit the car. I did not. I said, hey, listen, let it go. Yeah, you did. And by this point, Janet's gotten out of the car.
Oh.
And she's now standing by the driver's side. She says real loud, you did so hit our car.
Oh, no. Get back in the car, honey.
And then Larry the Cable Guy says, hey, Missy, or whatever he called her, I didn't hit your car. If I hit your car, I would have gone like this. Boom. Oh. Right on the side.
And he did.
He hits the car in front of you?
Yeah, right in front. I mean,
just slaps it?
Yeah, slaps it.
Not
right?
Like punches it make dent.
Not at all. Just
to make dent in car.
You know, it makes that metallic sound when you've hit something,
uncomfortable.
You know, something like that. And I said, well, now, seriously, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go to our prospective cars at this point and get out weapons and fight each other? Are we going to duel? And he kind of just stood there for a second looking at me. And I said, seriously, you hit my girlfriend's car. I bet you probably did it when you were swinging your arms around. He said, maybe. And I said, okay, enjoy your Mother's Day. And then, like, as an FU, I turned around and said, hey, incidentally, you know, this restaurant is all you can eat. And he got the biggest smile on his face. And he said, yeah, how was it? So the guy...
Was he dressed up? Was he Larry the Cable Guy dressed up?
Yeah, he had on he had like a felt shirt.
Right.
A plaid felt shirt.
Flannel, you mean flannel.
Felt.
No, not flannel.
No, Buzz,
either.
It was felt. He was dressed like a gay man.
Let's go with felt.
No, it was what for him what was a dressy shirt.
Right.
It had elements of felt. It almost, I swear to God, it almost looked like a bad 1970s tuxedo shirt.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
If you had like a Dumb and Dumber tuxedo.
Dark color, I'm imagining.
Yes. It was not so much a tuxedo shirt. It was a black shirt that had like purple lavender felt little squiggly things. Just like
so it's a dress-up shirt.
Kind of like a matador almost.
Kind of a shirt that a guy would wear if he wasn't going to wear like a jacket.
But you got to picture a real neck guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just afraid that this is going to escalate into something. Turns out as soon as I said this thing, he like got the biggest smile on his face. And he ended up coming up and asked us what we enjoyed.
Oh. And we so it immediately was one of those things where the tension diffused, and then you wanted to make nice, both of you.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of said he was sorry, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And I don't know if
did you say something like, I'm not sure exactly what we have, but they've got a trough in there, you know, for a pig like you. Just go in and
this is where we had our fun.
Okay.
Because this big burly guy who slapped the car accidentally, whatever, you know. So then we're both just sitting by. She's perched on the driver's side door, and I'm perched on the passenger door. You know, where you're like standing against the car, but you're like using the door of the car to shield yourself from the guy who's at the rear of the car.
As you fumble for your weapons.
Yeah, that's right.
In a secret compartment.
He said, how did you like it? And I said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I said, do you like gravy? And he said, yeah. I said, oh, gravy everywhere. And then,
yeah, 15 different kinds of gravy.
And then Janet just about made me pee my pants. She says, and they have custard, and they have all kinds of brownberry pudding in there. And what I like doing was getting them all and putting in the bowl and mashing them all together. It's so good. And this guy was like, oh, that sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm.
They practically ran into the restaurant.
They did. So there's not really an end to that story. It's just don't go somewhere on a crowded day when you forget that it's Mamo's Day.
Well, it's one of those created holidays where people, you know, feel obligated to do that and to buy flowers and do all that good stuff.
You know, if we consider ourselves lucky that we got out of this potentially, you know, life-altering situation, I said, this would be a good time. Let's duck into a movie theater. There's a movie theater right there. Let's go see that Spider-Man.
Spontaneous.
Let's make this happen.
Spontaneous, not on your mind at all?
Spontaneous, not on my mind, Mike.
You weren't thinking about Spider-Man when you woke up Saturday morning and then all the way?
Was not a priority. Did everything in the world except that. Went to see it. Got to be honest with you. Fell asleep twice during Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
Well, I have to tell you this, that my children, one of the very first things they said to me, Dad, we've seen it already. We didn't get a chance to go see it this weekend, but they wanted to take me to see it twice. They were...
You saw it again?
I didn't see it. We had other stuff
that
we did.
Consider yourself lucky.
Well, I'd heard the reviews, and I just, you know, I know that Spider-Man is your thing. You know it's not my thing. My kids think that's the greatest movie in the world.
I just tell you, and I know it made $60 million this weekend, the problems are multifold. I agree with all of the critiquing of the singing of Kirsten Dunst.
She sings?
Yes, more than once in the movie. Oh, she's an aspiring jazz singer.
Does she get out in the rain at all?
She does not.
All right.
The scene where Tobey Maguire puts his hair down on his head, on the forehead, as if to be a toughie, and walks down the street like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. I'm sorry, but Mike, this is where I must part company. I will believe that a radioactive spider bit Spider-Man to make him into Spider-Man.
That's the original.
I believe that.
You believe that with all of your soul?
Yes, I do. I cannot believe that the odds would be he's the only man on Earth that's been bitten by a radioactive spider turned into Spider-Man, right?
He's the only one with radioactive blood.
So what would the odds be that when he and his girlfriend are sitting in their giant love web that he has spun almost to be like a gigantic swinging chair?
He made like a nest?
Yes, a love nest with his webbing.
Like a swinging basket?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And as they're laying in this looking at the shooting stars go by, who would think that one of those shooting stars was some sort of an asteroid that would land just 5 feet away from where Peter Parker was making out with Mary Jane? And the little black gobbledygook stuff that crawls out, it could have crawled up any MF-er's leg in the whole goddamn world.
Could have.
But it climbed up Peter Parker's leg.
He's lucky.
Is that the bad guy that's on the asteroid?
That's what the bad guy comes from. The bad guy comes from the black goo that somehow gets in Peter Parker. It's like a 1 in a billion shot.
So the black goo gets into Peter Parker's suit?
Yeah, it makes him bad.
I'm trying to track with the story here. It sounds fascinating.
My logic is that it was a hokey gimmick that you didn't need to include the third, as with all of these movies, too many bad guys.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And right away it was a hokey gimmick. It's already a hokey gimmick. He got bitten by a spider. Jackie's got radioactive powers, okay?
Right.
But all I know is Delta Farce, you know, my pick to click. Spider-Man waxed it again.
Yeah.
Waxed it again because, you know, you people like you were going to see it again. Still very popular.
No, yuck. I don't want a love story. I don't want a love story. I already seen the love story.
So does this wet you down for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7?
Yeah. Forget it.
Dude, you're done with the franchise now?
Pack the tank up. You know, it would have been a good movie if you just had Sandman.
Just one.
Sandman.
Yeah, the guy from Sideways.
Those are some great effects.
How is he?
He's outstanding, and there are, in my opinion, lots of great CGI effects. The fight scene in the last 20 minutes is pretty awesome. But, Jesus Christ, you know, the reflective Peter Parker. And here's the thing. I guess by the time it gets to be the third movie, right, Tobey Maguire has some clause in there that says, I can't have my beautiful face hid behind this ugly mask. So even if you're going to put me in the suit, let me take the mask off. Because, like, every time he gets in a fight in the movie with someone,
right,
he ends up taking his mask off. Well, and,
sure,
Mike, again, this is where I got the problem. Because Spider-Man suddenly had no problem just swinging all around Manhattan.
With his face exposed?
Hey, it's me, Peter Parker.
Well, that's not the way Spider-Man works,
although,
right?
Although no one, of course, sees him. Because he's fighting on top of a crane on top of a skyscraper.
Well, when he's about to swoop down on the bad guys, does he put his mask on?
Yeah, and he always remembers where it is.
Sure.
Where does he keep it? Hey. Does he keep it between two pillows?
His codpiece.
You know.
What are the powers of Sandman?
Sandman,
Robbie,
it's easy. I know this, Don. I can answer this.
Oh, good.
He makes you go to sleep, Rob.
Same guy?
Mr. Sandman.
Sandman, Mike.
That's right.
Make
me a
fella.
Dream. Right? That's exactly right.
Mike, he's another one that had an unfortunate accident.
Oh, really?
He was being chased by the police,
uh-huh,
and he wandered into a restricted area.
Yeah, of course he did.
Where he, there was, I'm not, this was
he's
in the movie.
I know, it's just there's, funny when you hear these things.
A big, gigantic.
This is just like Batman and just like Superman. They're all the same.
Gigantic silo of some type of sand,
uh-huh,
and he hides from the police. But while he's in there, they turn on this switch because they don't know nobody. They think, hey, there's an anomaly in our big pile of radioactive sand.
Oh, it's radioactive sand,
everything
too.
Everything in town is.
Whatever it is.
You know. It must be a dangerous town to walk around. You got spiders that'll bite you. They're radioactive.
Turns him into a bad guy.
Radioactive sand. I thought he just came from the beach. or he was a golfer.
And there wasn't enough just Spidey swinging around, you know.
Not enough, you said?
Not enough. No, boo. Boo to you, Spider-Man.
Did you say you checked your watch or you fell asleep?
Yes and yes.
Good for you.
Yes and yes.
Wow. Good.
Now,
what next? Where do you go from here?
Well, you were all full of gravy, too.
Without Spider-Man, without Batman?
Oh, yeah, from that fantastic.
did you ever? I can't keep my eyes open watching Spider-Man.
Sleeping.
No.
You need the Green Goblin is what you need.
To make he's in there too, Mike. Spider-Man!
Is it Willem Dafoe again?
Well, here's how they screw up the movie even more.
Oh, dear.
Willem Dafoe's voice is in the movie, speaking to Harry, to young Harry. Harry Osborn. Harry Osborn. Now, Harry Osborn becomes Goblin Jr.
I thought that was a sex move, like a sex act.
What was it?
The Harry Osborn. If you do it the right way, it makes you slur your words.
Anyway, wow, really depressing.
That's well. Well, you knew it though. You kind of thought there was a chance of that going in. I mean, you wanted to formulate your own opinion,
and I wanted nothing better to come back today and say, oh, you know what? Even with all the flaws and everything, it's okay.
Well, the critics have spoken.
Goodbye.
Now they've all spoken.
Goodbye. Thank God, last night was redeeming. The Sopranos. If you're gonna kill Christopher, mm-hmm, you know, please do it the first 10 minutes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good. Yeah, but I thought the rest of it was another suck fest.
I disagree.
Oh, I hated it.
I thought it was a great one.
Oh, I thought it was another one where at the end it was just like, oh, come on. I mean, they're giving us scenarios that just materialize.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden he just appears at this girl's apartment in, you know, in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then it ends with him standing out because he's doing peyote. And listen. When you're doing a drug like peyote in the movies,
yes,
it doesn't suffice to look at a bathroom light and just have it fade away.
It is.
I wanted to see the whole psychedelic. I wanted to see spiders.
He was high when he was down there gambling.
Yeah, I know he was high, but he was high right till the very end, and then he puts his arms up. I killed him, and then it fades away. It's like it sucked.
Don't you get David Chase's vision of what we're getting here?
I get the vision when that's like the third episode in a row that when The Sopranos ends, I'm like. That's it?
No, I liked it. Sorry, I liked it. I wish more would
have happened. So the Christopher murder worked for the... That got it done for you.
Yes. Because the way it happened, so unexpected. Just like it was for Tony Soprano's character.
And he killed him because of the drugs, right? He killed him because he was saying that thing about the drugs.
Right.
Or who knows?
Or did he just kill him because he's a murdering psychopath?
Just flipped out.
Yeah. But I guarantee you one thing. We'll never know why.
Right.
Right. Because that's it. That's done.
That's how we do it.
Move on to the next. Right. And then... And you don't watch The Coming Attractions.
Before we get to that, I don't. The part I did not care for, listen, I don't care whether you want to turn AJ into Tony Jr. That, in my opinion, was a humble waste of time. Watching the aggressive Anthony Soprano Jr.
And then he's all banged up about it because he's not like Tony, because he's the sensitive lad that has to go to his own shrink and he can't handle the violence. And what's it all about?
The show was great, in my humble opinion, in this regard, that he snaps and he kills Christopher. And then later, just the guilt trip that he was on during the whole thing. And how about even Carm? He's on the phone with Carm. Mm-hmm. And the way that she shrieked, "Oh my God!"
A tree limb would have, if there had been a baby in the stroller, it would have been.
Then they showed, this is the first time they've ever shown Coming Attractions of The Sopranos.
Okay, what was it?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
Nothing. Like one big pile, steaming pile of nothing.
As in cryptic, you mean?
As in really, if you were basing whether you're going to watch the show ever again on those Coming Attractions.
They didn't give you anything.
No, you would say no.
Wow.
You know, they do the fast editing and the fast paced thing. No, it's just, God.
Well, I
want more mafia.
I was satisfied with Christopher being killed by Tony.
How long are we gonna maintain the tension between Phil Leotardo, which I love saying.
Phil Leotardo wasn't hardly on last night.
But that's it. But they have the whole thing with dumping the asbestos. When is this gonna come to a head?
I'd say the last episode, probably the last
episode when somebody's going to kill Tony.
Just 3 more hours
left. Here I am now rooting for the Sopranos. Just last week I was, taking a leak on their grave. What about Paulie Walnuts?
Paulie Walnuts, it was confusing to me that you had, that was Paulie Walnuts' mother, right? Or the sister or whatever,
whoever it was, right.
That was kind of jammed in there, I thought, too. Yep.
But I think maybe I'm wrong about this. I hope that leads to something in the next episode.
Well, I'm going to watch it. It's a go-to show. But really, if all things considered for Sunday night viewing, it was not nearly as good as Survivor. Survivor was great. Okay.
The cheese stands alone there, my friend.
Survivor was, I got in about 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, got back into watching Survivor, and it was one of the best ones I've ever seen. One of the biggest double crosses I've ever seen. And I was, hoping that would carry into Sopranos. And it's just, I want more answers. I want more stuff to happen.
But you're not going to get that.
How about, will you at least give me this?
You know that you're not going to get that.
The peyote. Could we have spent a little more time on maybe some special effects? Because I know they overdo drugs in the movies, but I've come to expect
it. What did you want it like in Dragnet? Did you want him to all of a sudden see psychedelic flowers and stuff?
Yes. I wanted the traditional stereotypical where he looks at the light and all of a sudden the light turns into like that devil that he's looking at on the slot machine when they get down.
Right.
I wanted the devil to start talking to him. Yeah. I wanted it to morph into Big Pussy.
Right.
And none of that happened. It's just him going, and once again, Tony banging this absolute supermodel, gorgeous,
really
pretty. And Tony's just...
I love it. He just lays there like a big lump. At least she was on top of him this time. At least he wasn't on top this time.
I thought we'd have the traditional...
to give him credit, though. Every time he makes love to a woman now, he's wearing more and more clothes. Next week, he's going to be in an overcoat.
He was fully dressed.
How about his heavy breathing?
Oh,
in bed with Carm when she can't go back to sleep when he wakes up because he's snoring?
I wake up a lot like that occasionally. That's suddenly where anybody that's ever had sleep apnea wakes up like where you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you go by that. Sucking all the air. I just wanted it to be better.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to, Mike, I thought you might have missed something there at the end of The Sopranos. I agree with you. It was kind of a suck fest, but I thought he was saying, I get it, not I did it.
When he's in the casino, doesn't he say something, I killed him? Didn't he say that when they were at the roulette table? Didn't he say, I killed him?
The caller's right. At the very end.
The last scene when he's looking at that sunrise or sunset.
Oh, and he puts his arms up in the air and he says
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, right.
He says, I get it.
Hello, Donovan.
What does he get?
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Big paycheck.
We have to wait and see.
Peyote.
Peyote.
He gets it. The reason. Mm-hmm. The reason is there.
For everything.
I don't want to incriminate anybody, Buzz, on this show, but that peyote, when they brought it out and it looked like a little a little jalapeno.
It looked like a sliced mushroom off a pizza to me.
Is that accurate?
I have never seen peyote buttons before, so I don't know.
He knows they're peyote buttons, though.
A lot of people...
Peyote buttons?
Yeah, religious experience for a lot of people, apparently.
Do you throw up after you take it?
Yeah, that's very common. I understand that, that's a lot of mushrooms. You take them, and then you throw up, and then you're fine, as it were.
Sometimes you throw up, sometimes you win at cards.
It is, after all, a toxin.
Buzz has never seen peyote.
Never seen it.
Peyote buttons, Rob.
On TV. That's a term I didn't know.
How you doing? This is Peyote Buttons. I'll be out later today.
Oh, man.
With Al Qaeda. Right, Peyote Buttons.
I like it. He gave the name twice. Peyote Buttons.
It's the Peyote Buttons Show.
Like Red's adopted son, Peyote Buttons.
Here's your host, Peyote. How you doing?
Peyote Buttons.
Hello, Don and Mike. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Don if when Tony was having sex last night, if it reminded him of himself.
Reminded him of what?
When he has sex.
Exactly. It was just like looking in a mirror.
Klaus, thanks for calling, Klaus. You are the second member of the family, and I believe we're going to have an extraordinarily long list today. Klaus, say hi to your brother Hans. Klaus and Hans Dumas.
That was a good one. Mike, check my nose. Do I have a nosebleed? Because that guy just tagged me.
Ooh, he tagged you good.
Now I feel like Oscar De La Hoya. Ouch. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the problem with the Spider-Man movies, these guys just take any of the characters and just make up a crazy story around them. Now, Spider-Man didn't get that suit that way.
I know that, and listen, if we all want to really take it to the comic book level, I know will drive you crazy, Mike.
Yeah.
There is
but I have to give it up when a movie is out like this.
There is a chronological order to the villains in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. There are many, many villains that could have come between Victor, the guy in the black suit, and Sandman. They skip like 8 villains right in between.
That's not right.
So I think I understand what you're saying.
But I love The Sopranos.
You're saying that after the original Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, you have a number of, if they were going to go in chronological order.
Yeah, like 10 more great bad guys in there.
Oh, okay, well, I agree with that.
That you could have thrown in. And my original point was, come on, he's already a dude who got bit by a spider and got superpowers. So what's the odds now that asteroid's going to come down and that little creepy crawler wall tingler thing, that little thing that looks... Remember those things that Dr. Fad had?
Ken Hakuda.
What do you call those things?
Wall walkers. Wacky wall walkers.
How would you describe those? They're made out of a rubbery, like gummy plastic.
They look like little spiders themselves. Mm-hmm. They're little bulbs that have legs coming off of them, and they stick to the wall.
Right. Yeah, so this guy...
Is this in the comic book?
It's like in the first 10 minutes, he's laying in his spider-wed bed with his chick, and this asteroid comes down, and out of all the people in the whole world, the little thing climbs into space. Peter Parker Spidey.
You know, with the amazing success.
It makes him bad, Mike. That's what the bad suit is.
That's the bad suit. Oh, it makes him evil.
It makes him show his egotistical side, where he cares more about himself than other people.
Is he still able to fight crime?
He has to rip the suit off.
In order to fight crime.
To be a good guy.
So otherwise, he's just going to run around the city trying to get laid.
Yeah, and there's one scene also. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't like the movie, and I like the comic book. Yeah. In the comic book, Peter Parker would never go into the jazz club where Mary Jane was performing, with the top part of his "I'm a bad Spider-Man" suit showing right underneath his shirt.
Unless he was a bad Spider-Man. So he's not going to do the things that the regular Spider-Man would do.
It's not that he was a bad Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
He was a Spider-Man with attitude.
All right.
He would still help people, but he was just into the adulation more.
You know, since nobody went to the movie Delta Farce that I was recommending so highly this weekend, has there been a farcical movie based on comic book movies? Has anybody come out with that one? Because I would imagine that would have a tremendous amount of comedy potential.
Like a goof movie?
Like you make a goof on the Fantastic Four, on Superman, on Batman. You goof that. I think that would be terrific.
I fine. Don't know, but in the theater that we went to see this movie in Baltimore, goddamn, they had a full-size Silver Surfer. If I had a pickup truck, I would have thrown that thing in the back, and that would be in my front yard
now. Is that the next movie?
The Silver Surfer is the bad guy in the Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
He's the big guy that looks like... remember when Terminator first did the effect with the
Were they morphed into metal? It's like chrome. Yeah. So that's an amazing special effect.
That's Silver Surfer from the comic books, and they had a big life size with the guy on his like a mannequin.
Cool. Oh, it was a mannequin, so it was like a complete doll.
Yeah, on his
life size
on his big surfboard.
It was like a life size doll. Yeah, you said it right, a mannequin.
Yeah.
You wanted to take it.
I wanted to see
Would you have been able to fit it into your car?
No, we had Janet's car.
Okay.
All right.
Next time.
I don't think we could have gotten him in my car either.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on the roof.
Yeah, that's good.
Strap him on.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hey, Don and Mike. Great show. Listen, when I was watching Sopranos, I noticed that Tony, when he was hallucinating, he kept hallucinating that stupid spotlight that was when he was in that coma, when he had that surgery, when he got shot by Junior. I think that's what he meant when he got it, because all of a sudden he's thinking there is an afterlife and he's going to be okay.
See, maybe, Mike.
Well, they leave a lot of that.
The riddles of David Chase.
The riddles of David Chase, and the most violent scene was a guy holding another guy's nose.
It worked for me, though.
It's like a puzzle.
You know. At least he's not on anymore.
You didn't like Michael Imperioli?
You know. I've never liked Christopher. Haven't we been
Yeah, we both didn't like
that,
Christopher.
That his storyline... Right. Always drag down the plot. It's like, who cares if he's right. back on H again?
You want to make the Sopranos work for me? This is the way you work. This is
oh,
the way
my goodness, it's like a puzzle. But what is the answer to the puzzle?
This is what you do.
What do you do?
You have Tony, every hit that he does from now on has to be done that way, whether they've been in a car accident or not. Imagine the struggle with Polly Walnut that he's going, but come on, my dude, T. Let go of my nose. You're not going to... It'll take you 2 years to kill me. It'll be like Stooges-like. You know? He walks up to Phil Leotardo. Okay, I'm not going to pay you 25%. Then he just grabs his nose.
Folks, what are you doing?
Let go.
What are you doing?
Let go, Tony. Let go. Hey, we're going to... 25%. I want 25%. I'm working on my Phil Leotardo.
That's not bad. Phil Leotardo.
Phil Leotardo.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, this is me.
Hold on, sir. No. We have to make a ruling.
When he says,
ruling alert.
Rob, what is the ruling on this?
He's gone.
If he says, is it me, that's a disqualification. He established firmly, this is me.
I have to agree with my distinguished colleague from the past.
It was awfully close.
I passed the motion. I passed the motion. He may continue.
Okay, go ahead.
You're overruled, Rob.
Bet it goes badly.
Probably.
Hello? Hey, if it goes badly, we'll give him a name.
I have kudos for Don. That is the funniest impersonation I have heard yet, where he talks like nerd Spider-Man.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It's simply a fan call.
There you go. It's a compliment.
Simply a fan call.
See how that worked?
Harmless
thank
fun.
You. I was way off base. Sorry, sir.
Thanks for calling, Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. Wilhelm, we're adding it to the you're allowed to.
Wilhelm.
All right. Go back and enjoy some schnitzel with Klaus and Hans.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio guys.
Howdy, what's up?
I just wanted to go back to when Tony was betting on the roulette table and he was like, I killed him. I think that was where he was, his luck had turned around and changed, because now that Christopher was dead, he was suddenly on a hot winning streak.
That's not a bad observation.
And I think back at the end, that might would have been the same thing, that, you know, his luck is now finally going to be turning around.
All I know is when I go to Las Vegas, there's going to be a little extra something in my suitcase. I'm going to bring some buttons with me so I can win. Good. I mean, because if you watch The Sopranos, you would believe that peyote buttons cause you to win at roulette.
That's crazy talk. Every time. Mushrooms can't make you win at gambling.
I've seen a person pretty banged up at a roulette table before.
Hello, D. Hello, M.
You look like somebody.
KCBQ.
How you doing? 82 degrees. This is Peyote Buttons. Hot day. Peyote Buttons show.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck.
That's the way it works. That's the way it works with saying the name twice.
He got his name twice.
Yes. Peyote Buttons always doubles up on his name.
Yeah. Long time ago, me and Mike were in Atlantic City with a guy who was way effed up on a lot of stuff, and he was trying to play roulette.
Atlantic City and the Bahamas.
And it was more fun watching this guy.
Across, you know, in casinos where they have.
Than actually partaking.
They have row after row of these table games, and I believe we were three rows over on the other side of the casino, just sitting there having a drink, standing, and laughing hysterical at this guy.
I mean, imagine, really, the way Tony Soprano was last night, times a thousand.
Oh.
And a guy sitting at a roulette table.
Mesmerized by the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely in his own world. Yeah. With breathing, and you want to talk about mouth breathing. with his lips kind of like curled up, only mouth open and breathing like this. So he was going, and just staring with all these chips in front of him. And just, you know, the wheel was his entertainment.
And he was our entertainment.
He was.
That was one of the times we went to Atlantic City. We didn't even gamble that night.
Right.
You and I just stood there and drank and laughed at the guy, our friend, our good friend.
He is a good friend, and he nobody. There'll never be another one like him. You know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
We got more pleasure out of looking at the Silver Surfer doll, as Mike calls it, than we did the entire Spider-Man movie. It was horrible.
That's a nice doll, though, isn't
awesome.
It? That's a nice doll, isn't it?
Oh, I wanted to hide out in the movie theater so I could leave in the middle of the night with it.
Wow.
You're planning it.
Is this in all the theaters? Can we see this doll?
Where are you calling from?
Baltimore.
Oh, I saw it in Baltimore, but I don't doubt that it's something that they've got in theaters.
Yeah, and that's obviously coming up, the Fantastic Four coming up again? Or
didn't you see that plugged on American Idol the other night, Mike?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. They just keep coming.
They do. Hello.
It's like fungus.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don, I'm like, I'm totally gay for Spider-Man. Too fast.
Gay.
Black suit wasn't a comic book. It was introduced as the symbolite, and it came from space and later turns into Venom, and then Venom and Carnage, all that silly stuff. And secondly, Spider-Man's favorite form of martial arts is, anybody know?
I don't know, Dieter. I really don't know. Dieter?
Judo.
He's doing a judo.
Oh, judo. Okay. Judo. Dieter,
you know.
Say out of Wilhelm Klaus and Hans.
Judo.
Dieter. I didn't think I'd get to Dieter this early.
Oh, there you are.
You've got some off-color joke where the punchline is judo.
Oh, it's not off-color.
What
is
it? It's
like Karnak
a
joke.
Oh, yeah, it's Karnak. What is it?
Judo. What do you make bagels out of?
Judo.
Judo.
Judo. Hi-o. Hello, Donna Mike Show. That's not off color at all.
No, that's, I tell that to my children.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
What could go wrong?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Greetings from ICT.
tell it to your children. Jesus Christ.
He's a great storyteller with his kids.
Now, boys and girls, Robert, Julia, gather around. I'm going to tell you the story of the merchant. All right. It's a bedtime story.
We're going to play Karnak tonight.
All right. I'm going to be Karnak. We've got our little pastel-colored envelopes that kids like so much.
Now, repeat it to me. Say, judo. Judo.
Now, I will open it up. What are bagels made of?
They love it.
I don't get it, Daddy.
You will.
You will.
Hello. Oh, one last call. We got to hit a break. What's up? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi there.
Hey, Christopher was Tony's curse on gambling, and when he died, the curse died.
You know,
in my opinion, Christopher, that was a waste of a good murder. They could have been done a good mafia style. He's one of the main guys.
That may be my point as well. I would have liked to see. You know, it was so.
But Mike, it was so spontaneous.
Well, you didn't see. I mean, you watched so much of this stuff. You didn't see that car crash coming 10 minutes before it happened?
Yes, of course, but did you see either of them dying in the car crash?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, so I'm stupid. I didn't.
Oh, sure. No. Somebody's going to be, and I saw Christopher dying because they're not going to kill Tony.
Well, the next time you see something like that, if you were really watching it and you really, when they got in the car 10 minutes before, call me. Really call me.
All right.
Because that's like.
I don't want to annoy you.
No, I mean, if you...
I mean, I really would... I would be pissed if I called you and, you know...
Because I didn't... I was totally surprised by the fact that one of them was... That Tony killed him.
But see, I TiVo it. I watch it late. I watch it late so I can watch the Survivor final. The two-hour Survivor
final. Gay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on.
No,
it's not gay.
Mike. No, yes, it is.
Can I say one thing? Just on behalf of everybody that might have watched Yao Man got screwed. Got completely screwed by dreams. I just wanted to say that.
There you go. Everybody that's having the Tupperware party today or the Pampered Chef, maybe.
I did get dragged in by my good lady.
Yeah.
She brought me into that, and then I got kind of caught up on it. I actually watched the entire thing.
For the first time ever, a unanimous vote by the Survivor crew.
See how savvy he is?
He knows.
He puts it down, but he's in the know because he has that gift. He has the gift of knowing
it,
if it comes. It doesn't matter.
It
comes across the magic box, you know what's going
knows
on.
Knows all season.
Earl deserved to win. Excuse me.
Yeah,
deserved to win.
Can I please see one more story about this guy? His name is Earl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I get
way.
Jokes. My name is Earl, right? I get jokes.
Unanimous. Played the game very well.
Okay. All right, Probst.
You see, I can give you a summary if you want. Yao Man gave Dreams the truck to make a deal where he'd give him immunity if they went to the Final Four.
They have trucks now?
And Dreams backed out of his deal with Yao Man, so he would go to the Final Three. And because he did that, he was completely eliminated of any chance of winning $1 million. And nobody liked Cassandra. And so Earl won the big prize. He won the big prize. I don't follow the television ratings. Am I speaking to anybody that watched this, or does nobody watch Survivor?
I don't know. You sat through my talking about Spider-Man, though, so I'll sit through your talk. Oh, hold on. Here's someone on your side.
Yeah.
John watches it.
Oh, yeah.
John, you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It was pretty good.
It was good.
Norman.
And I thought that Dreams guy is a scumbag.
He's a putz. He had the game. All he had to do was give it up. He could have gotten the money.
Yeah, yeah. It was a total screw job on the Zen-like Yao Man, the Asian inscrutable Asian man who was fantastic and peaceful and forgave everybody.
Okay.
And it was just it was well. Okay.
We gotta pick it up after the break. You can have the floor after the break. Michael Mara's Survivor chat. You know, that's a guy we can probably get on the show.
Yao Man?
No, the dude that won.
Earl? Sure. I'd love to get Earl on the show. I mean, would you be nice to him? No, you wouldn't. Look at you because you don't watch it. You'd be mean to Earl.
I'm nice to a lot of lame guests.
Yes, true. I am too. In fact, we both are.
I'm going to have to be nice to whatever lame guest it is they get today because the guy from TMZ is just all full of himself. I mean, we had this guy.
Playing hard to get.
We had this guy. We had the hook in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And then he's got some brand new Paris Hilton thing happening today. And he's very, very busy.
Oh, really?
But don't worry. John is, I wrote down, John has a good fill-in guest.
Oh, good.
A 67-year-old stunt woman.
Cool. I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Me too.
All right.
Me too. You know.
But that's it. You're updated.
You know.
You're updated on Survivor. That's you need to know.
All right, got
to
hit a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.